Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Britt Giroli, Nick Ashew, overtime on The Fan. Thanks to Zach Kiefer. Reminding us, Britt, that there are real NFL games this weekend.
It's refreshing and exciting to talk about. It's exciting to talk about playoff games, especially in football. NFL playoffs, like Zach was saying, like I've got the one we talked about, the ones we were most excited for, but let's be real. We're going to have everything on. You're going to have multiple screens, and it's going to be an awesome weekend. I love that it now leaks into Monday, honestly, because sometimes it can be a little overwhelming. You have too many games. You've got the most you have, though, is three. This weekend. And then you've got Monday to look forward to, too. So
just think, when the NFL adds an 18th game, we'd still be in the regular season. There's still that.
You know what? I'm not on the NFL beats. That doesn't. As someone who just watches for fun, they can add as many games as they want. Let's go.
Two of my favorite weekends in sports are the next two weekends. Wild card weekend and division round and that. But then, of course, there's also the weekend, or I guess we call it more of the season, when it comes to something involving the Commanders. Though, last offseason was nice. It was more about a 12-win season and NFC championship game and thinking, oh, the future is bright. And then this year happened, and everybody got hurt, and I got to do a podcast with Anthony Armstrong, former Redskins wide receiver, where he saw me on Commander's squad regularly put on a tinfoil hat because I just ran out of things to say about this team constantly getting hurt, Anthony. But the one good thing is we have not talked since Mike McDaniel was fired. Have you sent down a private jet yet to pick up Mike McDaniel so he can just get here now and be the offensive coordinator for the Commanders?
Man, you know, I put a little something on that Spirit flight, man. You know, that check ain't going as long as it used to, but good to see you, Nick. We'll hear from you at least. And then throw in Cardboard Nick. Sat in for about a half of a segment, too, on the pod as well.
I have used a cardboard cutout of myself when I decided I didn't want to talk about this team anymore, Britt.
It's, I like it.
Yeah, I'm full of bits. I'm full of bits. Listen, I covered the Wizards through 50 lost seasons and did shows every post game, so you get creative every once in a while.
Covering a bad team makes you better.
Man, you learn how to make some stuff up on the fly, I tell you that much.
Yes, I do.
Anthony, when you look at this Commanders team, I mean, obviously – McDaniel is the big gun, the one that everyone wants as offensive coordinator. But in your mind, like, what do they have to do to get back to being the team that they were last year, and even better? Because I think when you look at a guy like Jaden, you think, you know, that rookie season, and you're like, this is just the beginning. This is going to keep getting better. This is going to keep being exciting. I still think the future is bright, but they're going to have to make some hard decisions. They're going to have to do different things differently. The processes are going to have to change. And I think that even goes beyond just hiring a new offensive coordinator. I think in general, we talked about a lot of this is going towards the offense, but I think, you know, obviously they need a new defensive coordinator. There are going to have to be changes here. How, in your mind, put on a different hat, not the tinfoil hat, put on your GM hat. How do we get this Commanders team back?
So I tell you, my GM hat says you 100% got to find a way to get creative. That was one of my New Year's resolutions for this organization, for this team. And going into that Shanahan tree would be love. Being able to get, you know, Mike McDaniel would be great because he's Kyle Shanahan 2.0. You know, he's 13 years with that guy. So Kyle creates new plays all the time, and Mike's done that as well. So if he ain't coming, need somebody that can do it just as well. Some creativity, find a way to get their playmakers in the spot to make plays and do what they do best. And then same vibe on defense, right? Same vibe on defense, just find a way to create some pressure. You know, is that going to be getting a premier pass rusher? Is that going to be getting somebody out of the draft early? You know, we're sitting at 7, so you have a lot of options and ways that this thing can go. And I love that you brought up processes, because when I look at Jaden, just how you play in this league, the teams study you, and they study what you like the best, and they study what you do the best. And once they figure out what you are good at, they're going to play towards those things. They're going to kind of force you to do one thing. And we saw how that happened last year. So for Jade, he's got to change his process of how he looks at offense. Like, how is he going to read things out? That obviously is going to be a new offensive coordinator, so hopefully that person can help change his mind a little bit and enlighten him. But I think he's willing to learn. And he's ready for the challenge of this 2026 season and beyond.
Yeah, and you know how I feel about continuity with this offense and with a young quarterback and how important it is. And I know I'm not going out on a limb saying this, but it's just so massive. And we're heading into year three of Jaden Daniels next year already, which is just crazy to think. But put in perspective for you, as a former wide receiver, as someone that's been a part of some really, really, really good offenses, how important is that level of continuity for not just a quarterback, but for everybody involved year over year over year?
Man, you talk about year over year. I'm thinking game over game. You don't even know what the snap count is like. I mean, when you start training camp, you get down to the basics. It's so fundamental where they'll have the starting quarterback say the snap count in the huddle and everybody has to clap in the meeting room, I should say. Then they'll have the backup quarterback do it. And the reason is you hear it differently from everybody. They have a different iteration. They have a different emphasis on their snap count. If you don't have your same quarterback, the snap's different. Let alone who's throwing the ball in certain positions in certain places. Look, 2024, you saw how accurate Jaden Daniels was and could be. I mean, he puts the ball on the exact shoulder that he wants to. This year, he was off a little bit. I mean, I noticed that early on. So that can come back. And when he has that continuity and that confidence that he knows his receivers are going to be open, he knows that he's going to be able to throw the ball and they're going to make that catch and don't have to worry about anything crazy happening, you're going to see that accurate Jaden Daniels again.
Talking to Anthony Armstrong, former wide receiver. Anthony, I was going to put our last guest on the spot with this, but we ran out of time. So I'm going to put you on the spot with this instead. John Harbaugh, obviously the top candidate now for any team that has an opening. Fast forward to next season, where is he coaching? What team do you think lands him?
Man, I think Vegas is probably a spot that seems pretty intriguing. They're going to have a running attack. He knows about that. And they got Ashton Jeanty. They'll have a first overall pick. So that may be a Fernando Mendoza. And if you need somebody to program a culture into an organization, I swear Fernando Mendoza seems like the right guy, man. So that could be a good marriage right there, but it's going to be a tough running because I don't think Mike McDaniel became available for any other reason than John Harbaugh. So he may be needing to pick up some SPF 50 or something, because I think Stephen Ross is going to throw the bag at him and more. So it's going to be really tough. But Vegas would be intriguing. But I feel like it's going to end up being Miami.
Yeah, I agree with you. We had this discussion early on in the show.
That's exactly what you said.
And I said, like, why wouldn't you have fired him on Monday if you were going to fire him, right? You fired him because John Harbaugh was available. And, and you look at kind of ownership, and they're big, big Michigan people. They've got tons of Michigan ties. It just makes too much sense. Longtime admirers of the whole Harbaugh family. I just don't know how you don't back up the whole truck if you're Miami. And it's going to be interesting to see, because I feel like the New York Giants need to either get him or their fan base is going to be upset.
Yeah. And one thing to consider, too, like, this is not a bad mark on Mike McDaniel, right? They're like, well, if he got fired, why would we want him? He got fired for a coach that's been to the Super Bowl and has coached for 18 years. Like, that's one hell of an upgrade. I think there's a lot of other coaches that probably be thinking, man, I need to be careful because my owner may be making a phone call here soon. So even the guy down here in Dallas is in that same boat. So, Harbaugh's a hell of a coach, and he shakes things up and makes this an interesting coaching cycle. It's kind of it's adding to this wild card.
Talking to Anthony Armstrong here on Overtime, Mike McDaniel, we know, is a brilliant offensive mind. And you and I have certainly talked about this before, but when I look at him, I just don't know that I see a head coach. Do you think that he's one of those guys that goes back to head coaching again at some point? And again, I know we're certainly speculating here at this point. Kind of just feels like, to me, the best spot for him, offensive coordinator, handle what you're really good at and be like one of the all-time greats at it.
Yeah, I mean, I can see how it could go both ways. You get your first opportunity to be a head coach, and then you have to unfortunately see how dirty this business can be in the NFL. And then you have an opportunity to kind of go back and take control of what your next direction is going to be. And honestly, I see him going back to be offensive coordinator for a little while, and then when he's ready to take over that next role, he'll do that. He's a guy that learns by doing. He learns by going through the adversity. And just imagine he gets to potentially get back underneath a Dan Quinn who's in his second iteration of a head coach. You think about how much he's learned over these many years, and then Mike is definitely going to glean off of that. So if I was a billionaire owner of a football team and I didn't get Mike McDaniel right now, give me Mike McDaniel in 3 years.
I agree with you. And we had this discussion earlier, Nick, where we were saying, like, what happens if he gets another head coaching job? What happens if the Commanders get him and in 2 years he leaves? Yeah. That means the Commanders have won. That means he's back. His stock is back up, right? I think that's a risk that you take versus going in-house. I mean, is that going to, if that's your hire, that's the guy you're going for right now, and you're going to risk him potentially leaving in a couple years?
No, you're not going to let that happen again. We've seen that 2011 photo go across every single time that Washington plays somebody from the Shanahan tree. Look, in 3 years, you know, you'll be able to go directly to Mike McDaniel. And you want to know why? Because he technically qualifies as a minority candidate. There you go. You get your Rooney Rule already. It's done. That could be your guy. But I mean, hey, that's a couple of years down the line. Let's get some success here first. But hell, we got to get him in the building. But you see how it could really work out to be an easy, simple marriage and let him take over. Finish what Kyle had didn't finish.
Looking at the NFL playoffs this weekend, man, like, it just feels so wide open. We sit here and try to find a team that you have the most confidence in, and honestly, it's really tough for me. Is there anybody that kind of stands out to you out of every team that's in the playoffs right now? Because it seems to be a struggle for just about everybody.
You know, I think some of the favorites have the bye week, and I think, you know, that would be Seattle's probably one of the biggest favorites just from behind their defense, and then the aura playing at CenturyLink, and you got the 12s and just how loud that place can be. Can you imagine trying to communicate in the playoffs when you can't hear the person next to you? So that's a tough place to be. But if you're looking at games this weekend, I feel like there's really a lot of intriguing matchups, Nick. Like, you want to be a favorite of Buffalo, but they're on the road against a stingy and a, you know, kind of scary Jacksonville team. And then Houston is a favorite that I would like to get on board with, but then they're on the road against Pittsburgh and Aaron Rodgers and the terrible towels and weather. So I feel like as many advantages as some of these teams have, there's some disadvantages just on the fact of where they have to go play. But a team I kind of like got my eyes on, I think they're going to be set up for a pretty decent run, I would say New England. New England Patriots. Mike Vrabel has enough success and history on the field. He's learned from being a head coach himself from that first time in Tennessee. And they got that team running in the right direction. You got Josh McDaniels can keep old Drake May nice and calm. And hell, Stephon Diggs has been coming in big, too. He's coming in clutch as a leader and making big plays on the field. So New England is probably a team that I think could roll through these playoffs.
Yeah, we got some really good defensive teams in the Broncos and the Patriots and the Texans. And when you mentioned the Texans, Wesley, our producer, has a Texans sweatshirt on right now, and his ears perked up when you said that team. So, yeah, it's not easy there, but you know what? I actually think Houston might be a dark horse in these playoffs just because there is so much inexperience at the top. Anthony Armstrong, former wide receiver, the original 1-3. Good to talk to you, buddy. Maybe at some point we'll figure out what time we're doing our podcast tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. I'll talk to you tomorrow, man.
All right, man. I'll see you. Yeah.
Thanks.
Wes just looked at his Texans and he went, oh, Texans? He's got his big big Texans hoodie on in there. Right? You got so excited when he said that. You were like, ooh, the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, he had some good things to share. I mean, I know the weather will be – I'll be at the game.
You will be at the game.
You will? Oh.
Yeah. It'll be cold, but – you know, CJ Stroud played at Ohio State. He can deal with that.
Yeah, and Ohio State's doing really well right now. Right there. Sorry, buddy.
No, they won the national championship last year.
They did.
Can't win every year.
They did. Yeah, wow. Well, you know, you guys expect them to win every year. So
this has been the most unpredictable year that I could remember in college football playoff, which was the whole point, you know, was for people complaining that, you know, you could basically script who was going to win, and that just has not been the case as we sit here right now. We've got Miami up 3-0 over Ole Miss. There's, what, a little less than 4 minutes in the first. This is crazy, though, because the over and under for this game is 51.5. So you probably should have taken the under.
I don't know what the live number is right now, but if you give me a second, I'll look on FanDuel and I'll tell you what that total is, because it could be very, very different at this point.
I'm sure it is, because I was like, man.
Wait for it. We're down to 46.5 for those that dabble, as I say. Anybody interested? I'm not doing a betting show anymore, so I don't have to sit and talk about it constantly. I can just dabble it, if you will. But, you know, maybe next year for Ohio State for you. Speaking of the college football playoff, who's the team that you hate the most? Is there even a villain?
No, you can't. Who are you going to hate? Indiana?
Exactly.
Like, come on.
We'll look at that next on Overtime.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
They're moving. Here they come.
Heavy pressure. Howard delivers downfield. And Smith, he's got it! Jeremiah Smith!
You are such a troll. Wesley is such a troll. I'm not even going to call you by your full name. You're just Wes now. You're going to be what? Playing an Ohio State highlight when your team is out of the playoffs, you should be kicked out of the control room just for that.
Yeah, you know what?
You can't honor the national championship?
No, I can't. Because your team is not defending that national championship.
I started to hear the highlight and like looked at the TV of the Miami Ole Miss game and was like, oh, did something just happen while we were talking?
I did the same thing. And I was like, wait, it's 3-0 right now.
Yeah.
There's no big play. Yes. Oh, I see what he's doing.
Agreed.
Oh, okay.
Then I heard the name and I was like, oh.
Yeah, and that's it. She's Britt Giroli. I'm Nick Ashew here on Overtime. Wesley is a troll and he's an Ohio State fan. Didn't go there, but he's a fan. Oh, look, they're showing highlights right now of them losing. We can watch? Yeah. Oh, you don't want to watch that on the TV right now? No, you don't want to do that?
I watched the game.
Okay.
But you didn't go there? See, that's always a different kind of fan.
Well, my dad went there.
Still.
He went to Virginia Tech.
I did go to Virginia Tech.
Yeah, so he went to Virginia Tech, but he's an Ohio State fan, but then was excited about James
Remember
Franklin.
Where he started, and that was at a Buckeye jersey my whole life.
Well, then you should have gone to Ohio State.
They had a better broadcasting school, so I had to.
I don't want to hear these excuses. You know what we call? I went to Michigan State, and you know what we call people who went to Michigan, who did not go to Michigan, who are fans of Michigan? Mm-hmm. Walmart Wolverines.
Oh, that's a good nickname.
I once told Derek Jeter he was a Walmart Wolverine, and he knew exactly what I was talking about.
You have
to put some people in their place, especially people who are larger than life. I find it always works well. We have a great relationship now. He does Fox stuff, and like no one ever says anything but nice stuff to you. If someone all of a sudden throws a dig, you're like, whoa, who are you?
You know what? I actually like that strategy a little bit, because then it's like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I started working with Brian Mitchell. And Brian, as anybody knows, B. Mitch will talk trash to anybody. And I'm 23, and I'm just starting off in the business, and I'm going right back at him. And about a month in of us working together, I'm fresh out of college. He's like, you know, you throw it right back. And I like that. I respect that. I'm like, and we are close. And we've been friends ever since.
That's how you survive.
You got to do it.
That's how you survive in big league clubhouses. I was 21 when I got the Orioles beat job. These players were older than me, most of them. And it's like, man, if you don't take a joke and if you don't give it right back, you're done. You're done. You want to work in sports? I've got a couple tips for you. But one of them is you absolutely have got to take it and you've got to give it back.
Especially when you're an Ohio State fan and your team loses. There you go. Yeah. Okay, that's the last one for now. We're good. It's funny, though, because, you know, it's really difficult. Like, we talk about all the parody in the, you know, the NFL playoffs, and it's hard to find it. There are villains there, but there's not. I mean, you don't have the Chiefs this year. That's one of the big ones, obviously.
There's one of the polarizing teams.
There's no Alabama. There's no Georgia right now. There's no team that I look at and go, they're the villain, or I hate them, or I'm rooting against them, and You actually do need that. If any one of these teams, Miami, Ole Miss, even Oregon. I know Oregon's been here before, but Dan Lanning's great. How do you not like Dan Lanning in Indiana? Oh my God! I mean, Kurt Cicinetti, it's incredible what he's been able to do there. I look at every one of these programs, Britt, and I'm just like, I can see all of them. I could be happy if all of them win, just for the story alone, just as a sports fan.
I think people are just happy because this was the whole point of kind of the college football playoff was not just bringing it back every year. And every year we always deal with like, oh, it's the SEC bias again. Oh, it's Alabama again. And like, let me tell you firsthand, my sister is an Alabama alum. Those people are insufferable. Like they act like it is their birthright. It is their birthright to play in the title game. And if they don't, then everything has been lost. Like she was just a basket case over their loss, right? Like, listen, that program went with Nick Saban. It's still going to be good in patches. The dynasties are over because of the portal. It's just never going to be what it was. But I agree. I don't want to say parody. I like different things. I like seeing different teams. Indiana's been good in like 50 years. Like let's give some other teams their roses here. This is what makes this is what makes sports great. Nobody wants to see the same team win over and over again. Nobody wants to see what happened, what you think is going to happen on paper, happen out there. Otherwise, nobody would watch these games. This is what is so great about sports, is underdogs and improbable wins. And you've seen a lot more of that than you have, I think, in previous years. And that's proof by what we have here in the Final Four of the college football playoff.
The one word you said there, though, that stood out to me was parity. And I do think parity is a little bit overblown at times, where, like, we see it a lot in March Madness where the Cinderella stories are fun, but when it's four teams in the, you know, the Final Four and you're looking around going, it's all these Cinderella teams.
Yeah.
You want to have at least one, like, villain or one team that's been there, one big
Duke
program.
Yes, doesn't everyone hate Duke? Wes one, probably likes Duke. I don't know. He likes Ohio
State. Yeah, you
probably
do like Duke, don't you?
He probably had a Duke t-shirt growing up and now he likes Duke.
Why would I like Duke?
I don't know. Why do you like Ohio State?
My dad went there.
I
go to Columbus every single year.
Yeah, you probably like the Yankees. Like the Yankees. You probably like the Lakers.
Oh, for sure. When Kobe was there, yeah.
Okay.
Let me guess. Is Manchester United? Was that your
I like DC United.
Oh, that's different. Okay. But like, so if you had Alabama and all these other programs in the college football playoff, you'd have that. You'd kind of like, you'd check both the boxes. That's what makes this so, yeah, it makes it fun, but you do still need that one. You need familiarity. And listen, some of it is from, like, there's the sports fan side of things, and then there's also like the casual fan interest. There's familiarity that either breeds anger or joy and passion towards that team. That's what, you know, the Chiefs bring in the NFL. That's what Alabama, or now really Georgia too, or Ohio State. I mean, in Ohio State at this point. Yeah, it says, Ole Miss gonna take this one to the house. Let's go. Finally a touchdown. Ooh. You gonna play that or another Ohio State highlight there, Wesley?
Yeah. Can we get that?
Yeah, I was thinking about like a Carnell Tate highlight.
Cut that up quickly.
All right, Kawan Lacy, a 73-yard touchdown. First touchdown on the board with 14:50 to go in the second quarter. So finally, we got ourselves a touchdown in this.
It's supposed to be a high-scoring game.
Right. Like you said, the total was 51.5, and that thing dropped way down about, well, it didn't drop too much at 46.5. But here's the thing, too, with Ole Miss out there. Ole Miss, you want to talk about a story. Their coach left him at Christmas and was just like, yeah, I'm going to LSU. I'm going to see you. And you got assistants that are like, are they staying? Are they going? Are they going to be here? Are they not? Look at where Ole Miss is right now, in a position where they've had so much turmoil over the last, 2 months, whatever it's been, with Lane Kiffin being involved in the rumors before he actually went to LSU, and then everything that's followed after that, and guys still getting paid when they're not there, and like everything that's gone on.
Yes.
To see Ole Miss now up 7-3 in the college football semifinal, good for them. Yeah. Good for them. Another great story.
Yeah, agreed. And I think the over-under was 51 because of their offense. They scored like 30-plus in 8 straight games, Ole Miss. So, you know, and their defense is not great either. So then you have to figure that, okay, this is going to be a little bit of a shootout, right? So, and we may see that. It's still early.
Yeah.
We still have plenty of time, but you're right. They are an excellent story. You could find a reason. I was thinking about this morning. You could find a reason to root for every team, like a human interest reason. Mm-hmm. You really can. As to your point, there is no evil empire. There's no Darth Vader.
No.
You know, there's just none of that, like, you know, Death Star of a team. But I think that's good for 1 year. I think if you do it for 2, 3, 4 years, it becomes like, it really starts to ruin, but it really starts to kind of spread out too much. You know, Alabama lives and dies and makes all of their money for that, like pretty much the entire state off of that football program, right? Everything that is the sun that orbits that entire university, that entire state, right? Nick Saban was the highest paid employee in the state of Alabama every year he was there by quite a healthy margin.
Yes.
So, you do need those teams to be good. Maybe not Ohio State, but, you know, you do need those other teams.
You went to Michigan State.
Because I went to Michigan State, yes. And so maybe you don't need that team to be good. Just
agree,
like Michigan.
At least it's not Michigan.
Correct. And, you know, we're not even going to get into them because I still, like, explain to me like I'm five why the athletic director at Michigan still has a job. Is it because he played football at Michigan? Because it can't be that he's overseen a half a dozen scandals, including multiple football scandals.
Oh, you've had this ready to go.
You've been ready to go
after Michigan. I like it.
I mean, I went to Michigan State.
Yeah.
And I was an athlete there. I take this personal. They had a lot of fun with the Mel Tucker stuff. This is way worse.
Yeah, that is true. Yes, it is worse.
So
I see you smiling in there, sir.
Well, yeah, no, I was actually curious because obviously NIL has caused this, level playing field in a way. But we're seeing right now almost 40% of all college football players in the portal. So I'm curious what you guys know. It's over 4,000 players right now.
It's the Wild West. There are no rules right now. I know they're trying to create a level of rules, but there's nothing there.
No,
right
and
now.
College baseball is like this too. And I've talked to so many people that are like, the sport's ruined. Like, there's no putting the toothpaste back in the tube now.
Right. It's not changing.
You can't now. You cannot now go back and change things.
Well, even if they're trying to create, well, I guess they have this system, and I'll put it in quotes, for NIL deals where you submit it and it gets approved, but then they're just going through with it because nobody is taking too long.
Yeah, and there's always all these other ways around it. And even if they said NIL deals are not a thing anymore, they'll just go back to having boosters pay guys.
Of course.
Like, it's
Wait,
never.
Are you saying that guys were getting paid before this?
It's just never going to be changed, you know? And then, you know, when they first made it, weren't they like the boosters raising money to pay people because the school couldn't directly pay people, right? So like there's just always going to be like a counterpoint to this.
Always.
It's never going to go away. And I think like as someone who has, you know, as a former college athlete, not, you know, in a big revenue sport like that, but as a mom of two boys, I'm like, man, do I want my kids to partake in this? Because I know so many former players who have older kids now that are dealing with this, and it's a headache. They're like in the transfer portal, not happy at the program they're at, want to play at a different program next year. It's not great for development, which is really what we are doing here in college. Like, you're trying to get to the NFL. And how do you do that if you're playing at different teams, if you're getting transferred around, if all your teammates are moving around? You can't create this continuity. And this is what Nick Saban was so great at, right? And this is what really good college coaches are good at, is creating their own culture. Tom Izzo with basketball. Sorry, I'm going to keep bringing up Michigan State.
Yeah, but that's a good name to bring
it
up.
It is. Like, you are creating this culture there, and you know, where it's like a family, and where guys are still playing to win, because we know when we get to the pros that they say they want to win, but they really just want to make enough money to be financially stable the rest of their lives. Winning is secondary, right? So the problem is now is that the college has become mini pro in every aspect. And I don't know how you can go back and change that.
It's changed so much where there's like, when you're bringing up like a, you know, level playing field, in some ways, yes, if you've got boosters with a ton of money, you can get talent to go to maybe a smaller school and help build up that program. Like, that does exist. But then there's no real salary cap. There's no real way to control this. And you talk about players transferring and I mean, Did Dylan Gabriel play for 10 teams or 9 teams in college football? I can't remember exactly. It's like every year Dylan Gabriel was a quarterback for a new team. And it's like you look around and go, okay, what is the... And I don't blame kids for wanting to leave a program if it didn't work out. The coach gets fired or leaves, which we've seen plenty of.
Right.
And that was the argument for a while. It's like, we let these coaches just get out of their contracts, leave whenever, but players are stuck there or have to sit out a year before. And now it's changed to the point where there is more player empowerment, not just in the NBA, it's in college sports too, mainly football and basketball, but you're seeing that now. I don't blame kids for, one, get as much money as you can. Good for you, because these programs are making an insane amount of money. But we do have to have some level of a limit here. So there's just, you need some like bumpers. Like, we got to have something.
Like X amount of guys can transfer a year on your team. Kind of like pro teams, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it would be like if there was free agency every year. It would be pandemonium. Mm. Imagine if NFL teams could just enter a transfer portal, right? Like,
everybody's
crazy.
Free agent every
it's
single
crazy.
Year. Actually, it'd be kind of fun.
It would actually it would suppress season. The market a lot. I actually wrote a story because baseball's free agency last month was the 50-year anniversary of it, and baseball's seen as the sport that has the best union, right? Like, they're protected, their contracts are fully guaranteed. Mm. You know, when they get to free agency, they could never play again. If they sign a $50 million deal, they're getting the $50 million deal. They're getting, you know, $500 million now.
Right.
And originally the owners in baseball wanted to do something where every year there was free agency, and they didn't agree to it because they knew it would suppress the market, versus now where there's only a couple free agents, you know, in the NFL, or, you know, there's a couple top guys that make big money, and then every year there's a couple more and you're like, we got to get these guys. There's only five available. So it feels like in college they need to do something like that and put a little bit of a harness on it, because otherwise it is this pandemonium. And even if you stay at your school, let's say you're a quarterback, your wide receivers are changing every year, or your offensive line is changing. Like, it's just like, it is not good for the game. It's not good for the development. It's not good for the sport in general. I think there needs to be some guardrails.
And then the Dodgers come in and ruin everything in baseball, right? That I would love to talk to you about that at some point, because I hate what the Dodgers have done, but they're using what rules are there.
Yes.
Where will John Harbaugh end up? He's got a lot of choices. Britt Jaroli, Nick Ashew on Overtime.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Stroud trying to get it through the air. He goes deep for Higgins. Caught. Higgins. Touchdown, Texans. 7.
Is that a Houston Texans highlight?
Of course it was.
We are getting trolled.
We're literally... See, this is... Now, Wesley is just... You are now in way too much control. I'm going to have to... I'm calling CK, and I'm going to...
Linnell would never let me do this.
Yeah.
I'm well, taking my opportunity.
Is Linnell your boss? I'm going to call Linnell.
Yeah, no, Linnell was the... He did overtime.
I know he did.
Yeah.
I know Linnell. I'm going to have to tell Linnell this.
See, this is...
He likes the
Texans, so he actually would appreciate it.
Okay. On overtime. That is our producer, Wes. The inmates are now running the asylum.
Clearly, this is what's going on here now. And listen, you know what? You guys have your head coach, and you're in the playoffs, so shut up. You're fine. You're a Texans fan. You're an Ohio State fan. It's just random teams.
I lived in Houston.
Okay,
here we go.
And still, yeah, there's always an excuse.
Always a reason with you people. Listen, you're going to come in tomorrow with a Dodgers hat, and you're going to have to explain
right.
that one.
Well, I hate the Dodgers.
Uh-huh, sure you do.
You're an Angels fan?
No, nice. Astros.
I know. Well,
Astros?
Oh, yeah, he likes the cheaters, you know.
You like the Astros?
Yeah, I lived in Houston.
Oh, that's true.
There's that. Yeah, okay. There's that.
All right. All right.
John Harbaugh, now the most sought-after coach in the NFL. And I 100% believe what you said, Britt. I 100% believe that when Anthony Armstrong, who joined us earlier, said it without even us even bringing it up, suddenly Mike McDaniel's no longer the head coach of the Dolphins after John Harbaugh is available. Now, the Giants are still the team that has been linked to Harbaugh and or at least looked at as the most aggressive team. Like, they really, really want him. But after that, you got the Raiders and the Browns and the Falcons and the Cardinals. And like, there's a lot of teams that have coaching vacancies. This comes down to me, honestly, I think it's two teams. I think it's now down to the Giants and the Dolphins.
I do, too.
Between those two.
They're my top tier. If we're doing tiers or like betting percentages, I think it has to be them.
The Giants are the heavy favorite, though. If you do want to look at betting markets, the Giants are the heavy favorites, and it's actually the Raiders. Now, this is going to move a little bit, and again, this changes a lot. It's not a betting show, so I'm not... But like, the Giants are heavy, heavy favorites to be the next spot for Harbaugh. Here's what I would say. This is bad for the Commanders if John Harbaugh is the head coach of the Giants, because it will make them relevant again. I understand the Ravens fans were sick of it. I understand the Ravens fans felt like there were unfulfilled expectations, though he did bring a Super Bowl to that team.
Right.
But John Harbaugh to a team with a young quarterback, if he can get Jackson Dart, rein him in a little bit, teach him how to slide, and you know maybe not run into traffic as much as he is the way that he does. They got some young talent, a great pass rush, and it's an organization that has been irrelevant and dysfunctional for a long time that's going to be willing to spend money. That's not good for the Commanders, who already have to compete with the Eagles as they build this team up and try to compete for at least the division title moving forward.
I agree. I mean, a couple things really off of that, which I agree with everything you're saying. The Ravens' level of success is higher. The bar is so much higher because of the success that they've had in so many over the course of Harbaugh's career. And I think they were frustrated by the fact that Lamar Jackson has not gone to a Super Bowl, has not won a Super Bowl. And they felt like, okay, we just need some new blood, some new message. This wasn't like a John Harbaugh must go pitchforks. It was very much a people were unsure up until the time it happened, right? And you could tell by the fact that, you know, he didn't even get to inform his staff that this was like a very closely guarded secret that they were going to move on from him. He's going to be wanted by everyone. I think the Giants, you know, as you mentioned, they've been a train wreck the last decade. They've had 6 head coaches in 10 seasons, 2 winning seasons over that stretch. I won't bore you with the names, but they go on and on. And really, they've been looking for someone since Tom Coughlin retired in 2016. And I do think that they've got that really young defensive line. They've got some, you know, really, really good young receivers as well. Jackson Dart, people believe in the New York market that he's going to be a franchise guy.
Oh, they love
that
him.
Absolutely. That he's going to be
though.
A guy.
Not want to slide at all.
I just love, have you ever looked up the names of the rest of his family? They're all like...
I actually haven't.
He has a sibling that's like Diesel Dart.
Oh, stop it.
I'm not kidding you. I do some work in New York for like Mets
Dart
and Yankees.
Family.
All the kids have like pretty intense names. And there's one sibling.
Brandon and Carrie. Diesel Dart. Two younger sisters. Stella and Sydney Dart. What's that?
Yeah.
Touchdown. Oh, and Miami gets in the end zone now.
Oh, yeah.
Tamar Brown, 4-yard touchdown for Miami. They're going to take the lead here now.
Diesel Dart.
Diesel Dart.
I'm glad I could share
this
with everybody.
Brother.
Yeah. He's supposed to be really good, too.
Where does he play?
Sorry, this is supposed to be a John Harbaugh conversation, but we're now down the rabbit hole.
Canyon? I don't know where that is.
But imagine like growing up and your name is Diesel Dart. You better be athletic.
Man, I'm Diesel Dart.
Yeah, you better be athletic.
I went to high school with a guy who's a friend of mine, but like it was the classic, like all the sons, the dad was pushing them to go pro and like football and baseball, and it's like you'd see them and he was a high school baseball coach. And, you know, the younger brothers are still in, like, elementary school, but they're working out with the dad on the high school baseball field after high school, and they're striking out and doing push-ups. And you just see it, and they all had names like Tank and not Diesel, but it was all, like, you know, I can't even think of what but the Diesel Dart is one of the best names I've ever
heard. Thank you. I'm so glad that
I'm glad you brought this up. Thank you. He says, Corner Canyon. Where is that? I don't even know where that is. Is that a thing?
I don't know. It sounds like Utah.
Is Diesel Dart related to Jackson Dart? Yeah.
Yes.
He's a wide receiver at Corner Canyon. Led the Chargers the first ever high school. Oh, because it's still high school. That's why it's not in college. Yeah, okay. Oh. That's why. Jeez. Well, clearly I don't know a lot about the family tree of Jackson Dart, but Diesel Dart now on my list of guys to follow because the name is amazing.
I told you it was amazing. But anyway, people do believe he's a franchise guy. I do think the Giants are probably the favorite here. However, I will go back to what we said at the beginning of this show, which is you don't fire your head coach in Miami if you don't think you have a legitimate shot at John Harbaugh. And we know about Dolphins owner Stephen Ross. We know he has a long history with that family. He interviewed Jim once before there was even a job opening. He's said he has an affinity for that family. He's from Detroit. He went to University of Michigan. Mm-hmm. Harbaugh's obviously closely intertwined. The dad, the elder Harbaugh coached at Michigan. And, you know, you look at this family and you look at the fact that they waited until after we got through Black Monday to get rid. And it just feels like, was there back channeling going on, right? How much money can they offer? So many
conversations that are had behind the scenes.
So if you're the Dolphins and if you're a Dolphins fan and you don't get John Harbaugh, aren't you kind of upset? It's like, well, then why did you fire McDaniel? Right? This is the clear number one seed in the coaching carousel. And I was looking at it. Is there a clear number two? It doesn't seem like there is. It's John Harbaugh and then a whole bunch of other guys down below. And I think, you know, every team is going to want in on him. I think the Giants' advantage is their quarterback situation, right? And the Dolphins, it's a mess. Tua is on his way out, right? They're going to try to figure out a trade for him. You look at the middle tier of what I call teams that are going to be interested in John Harbaugh, the Titans, the Falcons, Cardinals, the Raiders. They're all desperate to turn around these, like, lengthy runs of losing, but they all have less than ideal quarterback situations as well. That's where I think the Giants have a real edge here.
When you have a young quarterback, a great pass rush, and you're in a big market with an organization that's going to be willing to spend, it is such an enticing situation to be in. But you're right, because I'm looking up other head coaching. Here's one that I would say, though. After John Harbaugh, the next one for me is Kevin Stefanski. Fired in Cleveland. That's a two-time coach of the year, and that's somebody that made, I mean, with what he was able to do with the mess that they gave him at quarterback,
yes,
I would hire, honestly, if I'm the Ravens, I would hire him in 2 seconds. But I actually see a really good fit for Stefanski in Atlanta because they got a lot of weapons and you got a young quarterback there too.
Yeah.
Once Michael Penix Jr. is healthy again. So Stefanski might end up being there. But this is every year in the NFL, the coaching carousel. There's always going to be, but you're right. Once you had Harbaugh's name thrown into the mix, that was it. Like, that became everybody was going to find a way to try and go and grab him first.
Right. You throw a bomb into this, basically. And the Browns are in my lower tier because they're just desperate for stability and relevance. They're a mess. And why would he want to go there? When he has all these other teams, we know he can pretty much pick his spot. Mm-hmm. Why would he want to go there? I could make a case he'd be better off sitting out a year than going to Cleveland, right? Like, why?
I would not want to go to Cleveland.
Why? Right, and obviously the Ravens are not going. They're the other team with the opening. They're not going to say, hey, we made a mistake. Yeah. Come on back.
Just kidding. We need you back here.
JK. you know, so that's not going
to
happen either.
Well, Cliff Kingsbury goes to Baltimore. They're going to be wanting John Harbaugh back real quick.
I don't see that happening. That feels a little over his head somewhat. I think a year ago his stock was higher. It almost feels like he's a guy that they like, I don't know. If you're the Ravens and you're trying to sell this whole, we need to win a Super Bowl or bust, you got to hire, I think, somebody that's got a little more cachet than Kingsbury, who was let go from Washington. That's how I feel about it.
It would be a horrible decision.
You can't sell it. How do you sell that to Ravens fans? Yeah.
I'll just say this. I think I'm with you. It comes down to the Dolphins and the Giants for John Harbaugh. And then after that, Kevin Stefanski is the one that a lot of teams are going after. Maybe he sits out a year. We'll see. As long as Mike McDaniel is the offensive coordinator for my Commanders, Britt, that's all I want to see. That's it. You make that happen, we're good. Britt Jaroli, Nick Ashew here on Overtime.